Welcome to It's a Crazy World, where musicians discuss the unique lifestyles of today's artists. If you want to know how to get through the craziness of the world of music as you reach for your dreams, you won't want to miss this episode of It's a Crazy World with Cynthia McIntosh.
Good evening, everyone. Thank you for listening to It's a Crazy World. This is Success Coach Cynthia McIntosh, your host for the evening, and tonight is a really special evening for me. I get to introduce to you my new co-host, Abraham, from the Abraham Music Project. And we're going to discuss what we are going to be doing on our new show starting next week. So I'm going to give him a chance to tell his story, play some of his music, and give you a chance to get to know him. And I know that once you do, you're going to be really excited to have him on the show, as I am. So stay tuned, and we'll be back with you right after this.
It's a Crazy World with Cynthia McIntosh. We'll be right back after this.
Hi, this is Success Coach Cynthia McIntosh. If you could wave a magic wand to make your life anything you wanted it to be, what would that look like? How would it feel? What would be the changes you would see? If you're ready to make those changes and overcome all your obstacles, give us a call. I would love to be part of your success. You can reach us at 866-636-4696, or you can visit our website at successwithmcintosh.com.
She's Cynthia McIntosh, and it's a crazy world.
Speaking of the show, this is going to be brand new. It's going to be completely different than what we've done in the past. And I am really excited to introduce Abraham. He's going to be my co-host, and we're going to have more fun together. I've been having fun doing this since 2011, but now it's going to be even bigger and better, and we are going to have a blast. You're going to love talking to Abraham. He has so much fun. The only problem is the hour is going to go way too fast. When we start talking, it's hard to cut it down to an hour, right?
That's what we discovered every time we got on the phone. Even the very first time we were introduced by a mutual friend and we were going to do something about Abraham Music Project, and we started talking, and I think it was 90 minutes.
It was, and we never even got the show that we were going to be doing about the Abraham Music Project.
And we still haven't.
Isn't
and then the next call, same thing, 90 minutes. I mean, that seems to be the thing. And then we applied some self-discipline, some control, some professionalism. We got it down to like 65 minutes.
And now the challenge is to get it down to 58.
Well,
and that
in the
has
old days, that would have been razor blades that would have taken care of that. Today, it's a simple edit on our wonderful computers.
But you have to remember that 58 minutes includes the music.
Well, if we ever play one of my songs, they're all like over an hour long.
Actually, they are really long. They're awesome.
Well, speaking of music,
yes. Are we speaking about music?
Well, you just mentioned really long songs. That has to be about my music. So you were saying, though, before we actually started this show, you were telling me that you had two favorite songs. One was Mr. Mastermind, and you have to tell me what's your other favorite song in the AMP, Abraham Music Project. I call it AMP for short, in the AMP catalog so far that you've heard.
Resist the Devil. That's easy.
Oh, that's right. You like that one. I'm so
I
surprised.
I do. You are surprised. Why are you surprised?
Well, because most of my songs have kind of like this melodic rock vibe, chill and philosophical, and Resist the Devil is just like rocking out.
It's an in-your-face type song. So what are you trying to say?
I'm just surprised. I mean, I think, I don't know if it's public knowledge how tall you actually are, but when I heard that you were this little mighty mite, and then you tell me, my favorite song is Resist the Devil, which I kind of think of as a wannabe heavy metal tune, and it's not really. But it just surprised me. I'm surprised that it had appeal.
Wow. Yeah.
It's not one of my chick flick songs.
Yeah, I'm full of surprises.
Okay. I'll believe you on that one. So, you know, you did say Mr. Mastermind, and, you know, I do have a story about that one. That's the song I ended up getting onto KLOS 95.5 in Los Angeles. There, that's a rock station that's been around probably longer than most of the people listening to us. And they've been here forever, and it was the Heidi and Frank show at the time, which is now the Frosty Heidi and Frank show. But they have this thing called Stay or Go that they were doing every Friday, and the producer heard my tunes, and I was selected to be on there, right? So the way that show goes, you come on live over the phone, and they talk to you a little bit, and then they play a tune, and then people call in, and the vote is, if you get out of 10 calls, if you get 6 or more, they'll play a second song, right? So many people that are more sophisticated think that Mr. Mastermind is like this hit, right? So I thought, I'll open up with Mr. Mastermind. And so I played it, and it was all done. Frank just was like, Abraham, I just don't know what to say. That was like audio shrooms for me. I am just blown away. I mean, if there was something that you could do with music, you did it. It went here, then it went there, and you threw everything. You came out swinging, is what he said. And he said, that was the most biggest production ever on Stay or Go. Then he turned to Heidi, says, Heidi, what do you think? And she just said, wowee. And that was it, right? Uh-huh. So I'm thinking, okay, we're rocking. This is cool. And I'm laughing, you know. And so we're having a good time. So now, something they did not know, and this is the first time I'm even saying this, Mr. Mastermind, I've had the privilege and opportunity to work with a number of different pretty established players in their own right, and you know, besides doing music production, I've done quite a bit of video production. So through both those channels, I had the opportunity to meet and work with a guitarist by the name of Carl Verheyen, who used to be in Supertramp, and then we met. Well, I had on my director's hat in video, and so then when I was thinking about what I wanted to do with the song, and I never liked the guitar solo I had done. It was sort of like a stand-in that I never had finished, and I had met Carl. Well, he had been voted in Guitar World magazine as one of the top 100 rock blues guitarists of all time, and then in Guitar Player, one of the top 10 recording, I think it's studio guitarists or rock guitarists in I guess the LA area. Or so in the top 10. So between those two, this man had all the credentials. Plus, I heard him playing live, of course, and he just blew my socks off. So I saw him playing with somebody else that I had known from another directing gig. His drummer was none other than Walfredo Reyes Jr., whose whole resume goes back. I mean, he used to play with Santana as a drummer. Hmm. He was currently, when I wanted to re-record this song, he was touring as a percussionist with Chicago, and he just happened to be back from that. 2 weekends before that, Santana needed him in Las Vegas, and he was playing drums behind Santana again, but he's also played with Steve Winwood, and he used to be in Traffic, which is where Steve Winwood had come from, mm-hmm. With Gloria Estefan. I mean, he's played with everybody, the who's who, and he's amazing. He sounds like 50 different drummers when he wants to be all at once, or when he plays percussion. It's just an event. He's really, really talented. Well, I was working with a band. I was producing them in a studio, and the owner of the studio and I started talking, and I said, you know, I know who Walfredo Reyes Jr. is. He goes, oh, yeah, Wally. He's here all the time. We're great friends. I said, really? Well, I was thinking of using him to play on this project I'm working with this band. He goes, oh, yeah. And the long and short of this story is that my friend, the studio owner, called me because he was having a session for another client, and Wally was going to be there on drums. So he invited me up there to sit by and stand by. They set up the whole thing for this other client. The other client came and went and recorded all of the stuff. And at the end of that, without charging me for studio time, and just sort of writing a check to a thank you check to Wally. He played on my tune, Mr. Mastermind. So he's the drummer on this song, right?
Wow.
So I got him on there, and afterwards he said, is that so that's one of your tunes? I said, yeah. He goes, you should sell that to Yes. And I thought, to Yes? It doesn't strike me as a progressive rock song, you mm-hmm. know, and Yes is my favorite progressive rock band, but it's interesting to hear how people will respond to anybody's music and what it makes them think of. But it was a compliment nonetheless. And of course, Yes was just inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame this year. So, I mean, that's a very significant compliment. But anyway,
right.
So once I had somebody I had interacted with a little bit more, which was Walfredo, I felt the confidence to give Carl Verheyen a call, and I said, hey, remember me? And we're talking, and I said, look, your drummer, Wally, he just played on a tune. He really liked it. And I was just wondering if you would be so kind as to honor me with your touch on it. And he goes, well, send me the song. So I sent him on the email, and he writes back. And he goes, cool tune. All it needs is me. So we arranged for that, and I went up. We decided to record in his studio in his house, and I went up there, and he had just a modest little setup in kind of a den, and he really didn't know how to operate it, and he was on Pro Tools. Well, I brought my own rig up there, and we set up very quickly, and the funny part about that was he had disappeared around the corner through this doorway, and he came back, and he had his guitar, and he starts playing, and he goes, well, I have it all set up. He goes, go see if this will be okay for you. And so I grab my mic and stand, and I walk around the corner in this other room that he had it set up in, around the corner, and there's his little amplifier, like with a single 10-inch speaker, sitting on top of a toilet. It was his bathroom. And behind the amp was the shower with the glass doors, and in the shower was a shelf going across the tile with rows of guitars underneath the shelf and another row of guitars on the top of the shelf.
Wow.
Two rows of guitars. So he had this closet built into his shower that way. So, true musician, a man after my own heart. Right?
Are you sure he wants us all to know that, though?
It's so great. Well, I could always... Sorry, Carl.
Oh, poor Carl.
Anyway, so Carl Verheyen, the great Carl Verheyen, did the guitar solo on this. Okay, so now back into the Stay or Go thing with Hiding Frank. So the callers start calling in, and what was interesting is that, you know, Frank already obviously really was digging what was going on. And so when somebody called in and they voted against it and started making comments about it, said, no, this one's a go, this one's a go. I mean, what kind of name is Abraham Music Project? And Frank goes, well, it worked for Alan Parsons Project. So he was already defending me. And another caller calls in, and they vote for Stay and says, yeah, I think he's really talented. And Frank goes, yeah, as far as musically, a super-duper talent. So I'm going, yay, okay, I'm still in the running, you know. Well, the callers kept coming, and now looking back, I realized why. When I first got on the show, the first thing Frank said was, hey, Abraham, welcome to the show. You know, you're really brave to be on here. And I thought, why would he say that? Because I had heard the Stay or Go show when it first came out. And back then, it was more about, you know, honest evaluation and that sort of thing. But it had progressed over the 2 or 3 years that it had been on into just a spitting and stone throwing thing. I mean, that was what the show became, you know.
More like a gong show.
Yeah, and you know that joke about how many, like, you can say whatever, but I heard it about guitarists, but you can say musicians or whatever, but how many guitarists does it take to screw in a light bulb? And the answer is 12, one to screw it in and 11 to fold their arms and say, I could have done that. So here I was, taking my stripes. So, and
yeah.
But here's the thing. The next person who called and had bad things to say, you know, I have this relatively young sounding voice, and I tell people that I, you know, I never reached puberty. I waited for my voice to crack, and after a number of years, just totally gave up. And I've had people talk on the phone, and they're like, exactly how old are you? But anyway, so I'm thinking, you know, looking back at this experience on Stay or Go, it was, I think they were just thinking there's this upcomer and we'll just take swats at him. And meanwhile, because of my deep classic rock type roots and, you know, how it is that I write, it appealed to somebody like Frank, because it's a classic rock show, but this isn't a classic rock segment. And their show is more of a talk show anyway. So the person calls in and he was slamming the song, and then he said, and the solo, meaning the guitar solo, was gag-worthy. So they, you know, he's thinking, whoever's calling is thinking they're taking swats at me. And they're actually, it really exposed that person, because unbeknownst to everybody else except myself, they were talking about Carl Verheyen, who I already gave you the credits, right?
Right.
So anyway.
Did you get to share that information at the show and let them know how wrong they were?
You know, at the time, I didn't, because I was so bent on how many votes was I going to get? Was I going to get to play my next song and things like that? That I was just wading through it. And I wished, well, in addition to that, it was over the cell phone. And at times it was very, very difficult to hear the show.
Right.
To know exactly what was being said. So between processing everything going on and whether I could hear it or not completely, I wasn't in a position to do it. I've thought of calling them back later, and you know, maybe I was thinking of even seeing if I could talk Frank into being a guest on our show and talk about his life in talk radio.
Ooh, that'd be fun.
But you know, the producer, after the show was over, I got voted off, so I didn't get to play my second song, and I waited on my phone, and I was listening to the show still playing through, and it seemed like a while, but it was probably like a minute and a half later, the producer gets on the phone with me. He goes, are you still there? And I said, yes. He goes, ignore the comments. That's just the show. He goes, you played so well, and that was so strong, and we all loved it. Just keep up what you're doing, right? So that was really cool. And since then, I've communicated with them. I sent them a little gag thing where I was sort of taking a novelty song of mine, where it's the same story of a songwriter trying to make it and he gets slammed down, and then throwing the choice, really bad comments being thrown at me into it, and I send it to them, and everybody laughed. The producer Eric said, yeah, I showed it to Heidi and Frank, they both cracked up. So
it's good, like, job.
Yeah. Anyway, now you're supposed to beg me to play the song.
I'm going to beg you to play the song. I was just going to ask you if you would allow me to play the song. Can I play the song?
Yes, please.
All right. Well, ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Mastermind by Abraham Music Project.
Interested, mister, don't be misled by this sister. Gentle, she is cruel. She's a lady that gives just to survive. And she can love, but she won't care. She can take or leave you there. A woman that loves to feel alive. By this sister, keep your heart.
Well, thank you. We're back on It's a Crazy World, and we are introducing Abraham today from the Abraham Music Project. Abraham is going to be my new co-host, and we were just listening to his song, Mr. Mastermind. Abraham, are you still there?
I am still here.
So, we talked about the story behind that song. Now we got to hear it, and we are going to listen to my favorite next, right?
Sure, next, but
no, actually, that is one of my two favorites. I've got lots of favorites, but those are my two favorites of yours. That one and Resist the Devil. So
thank you
for letting us play Mr. Mastermind. I appreciate it. I love that song.
Thank you for playing it. You know, if I do become co-host, I think every show we're just going to keep playing it and playing it and playing it.
Well, use it as bumper music for the show. How's that?
You don't want anything so gag-worthy.
No, actually, I really do love that song because it's got so many changes in it. About the time you think you know where it's going and you're getting settled, it changes on you and it wakes you up and you're all over it. And then you think you've gotten used to that and it changes again. It's got so many feels to it.
Yeah, that's true, and it does ultimately bring you back home when it's all said and done, but it is definitely the one that I considered my most experimental song, so it does a lot of different things. The orchestration that winds in behind it are actually sound clips from other orchestrations I had done for other people's projects, and one of the tunes from years ago happened to be... some of those pieces, they were in the same key as Mr. Mastermind, and it was just an experiment to do that. This is like the fourth, I think, version of it I've recorded, but one of the versions, one of the things I tried doing was having two different drummers play on it at different times. So the first drummer recorded his ideas across it, and then I had the other drummer come another time into a session and record, but I didn't let him hear what the first drummer did. So every time it would start to do a fill to go across into the chorus or whatever, they each did their own sort of phrasing going across the toms or whatever they were using to do it. And when it was all combined, it was this avalanche of sound that just rolled down, and it ended up everybody back on the downbeat at the downbeat after the fill. And it was really interesting. But that recording, I wanted to make it a little more transparent than that. And it has enough craziness in there to, I think, satisfy enough palates without...
There's something about that song that takes me back to the 60s, 70s.
It probably should, because it's very influenced by those times.
Yeah.
Also, Ambrosia, the production in Ambrosia's first album, which is also in the 70s, had a huge influence on it, where Alan Parsons actually produced and mixed their project. And I was trying to get some things that they were an influence on that.
Ambrosia was?
Yeah.
Fun. Well, it is a lot of fun stuff. So, actually, I have to ask you, just so people get to know you, and I always ask this, how did you get involved in music, and how old were you when you realized that you were going to be a professional musician of some sort?
Professional musician.
It's my favorite question, so I have to ask.
Well, professional, if you mean being paid to do what I do with music, then yes, I guess you could say that. I was 11 years old. My sister put a guitar in my hands, and she taught me how to play Michael Row the Boat Ashore.
Three chords.
And I started playing that, and that led to other things where I started listening to songs on the radio and trying to figure out what they were doing, and I got the songbook with popular songs in it, so I was looking at the chords and playing and singing along, and it just grew from there. I pretty much self-taught. The guitar solo in Mr. Mastermind that we just heard, of course, it was Carl Verheyen, but the other guitars are all me, and I'm playing when we do put on Resist the Devil. That's just all me playing. So I do play lead guitar. Self-taught. I ended up in a band by age 19, and everybody else was older than me. And I did that for a couple of years. And then as I got a better sense of where I wanted to go, I left the band. I went back to school and I actually studied music in theory and all the good stuff, counterpoint, and that ended up proving to be very beneficial down the road, because when I started working in studios, opportunities came along where all that education came into play, where I started to do like orchestrations behind other songs and whatnot, and right. or just harmony vocals for people's songs.
And then you got into production. In fact, you and I thought it was really funny. A couple days ago, you and I were talking, and we discovered that I had been working with a band that I put together many years ago at this point, and I had scheduled for them to go ahead and record their first demo CD with a producer that I work with, and I had also hired someone to come in and video record the whole thing so we could put together a really fun demo video. And it was really funny because you and I were talking a couple of days ago and you were telling me a story about the producer. I said, wait a minute, I recognize that story. And you apparently were working for the person that I hired to do video at that particular project.
Yes.
And so we actually met way back then, and I didn't even remember that, nor did you. So
and that makes you my boss. You're my former boss.
That is true. I have written you a paycheck.
I've been waiting for it ever since. It's been in the mail perpetually.
No, wait. You didn't get paid? You were supposed to. I paid for it.
Yeah. It's never enough. Never enough.
Yeah. I just can't please anybody, can I? No, yeah. Actually, that was really a fun video, though. We had a good time with that.
Yeah. It's really a lot of fun to shoot bands performing. And you know, since then I went on to develop, you know, my own company, Sunlight Digital, and the tag was artist friendly video productions.
Oh.
Because I cut my teeth learning about video and video productions when I was a recording engineer at a studio for about 5 years, and one of our clients towards the end of that was TRW. Their media department had come in.
Excuse
me. Should have brought water with me.
That's what editing is for.
And they were doing these two quote-unquote music videos and recording this band doing like these satire songs of well-known old like 50s tunes. They're really funny. One was, well, Surf and Safari. They were doing something called Trading Safari, and it was all about the stock market. And another tune. But anyway, when the session was done, the producers and the others that were involved with it that were there from TRW told me that after it was all mixed and everything, they said, this is one of the best sounding recordings we've ever had done, and they really loved it. And so later, when the studio owner decided to move on and he had to sell his studio because of things going on in his personal life, and I became freelance, the door was wide open for me to step in with TRW's media department, primarily as a sound guy. And so I would go, they would call me in freelance, just independent contract, to operate the sound equipment to record that while they were doing the video stuff. Well, I was helping their lighting director set things up, and I learned so much from him when he would take the most ordinary looking office space with fluorescent lighting, and he would transform it with gels and lighting into the most beautiful environment. And anyway, so I started to cut my teeth on that through that relationship, and it was really a tremendous benefit. And later, even after that, this lighting director, his name's Kenny Giuseppe, he moved on to go freelance because he was so good and in such demand that he left TRW and his full-time job to do this freelance. He gives me a call one day, and now he's doing things independent contracting, and he's working with Southern California Edison. He goes, they need a sound guy over here. You want to come over? And I went over there, and nobody in there, they had a really well-developed media department out in Rosemead, and including a really nice audio room with a nice board and everything, and nobody in their department knew how to operate it.
Wow.
So I was a fish in a small pond, and I got called for every single audio project. Well, both TRW and Southern California Edison became also music clients of mine, where they would hire me to write scores for videos.
Oh, wow.
And create soundtracks and do this, that, and the other. So it all kept growing together at the same time. So while I had started in music, I didn't switch into video production. It expanded into video production, and most often as it related to something musical in one way or another, or to audio mixing or something. So it all just sort of stayed together. So I was able to wear both hats very comfortably. And that's kind of where I am today. I'm still doing both, but I love doing music.
Right.
I love doing...
Now, you and I are doing this radio show together. And you have some background in radio as well, correct?
I did, but not on voice, not on mic. I've co-produced a few things. One of them was a 9-episode radio drama, really interesting script, called The Passenger, and it was basically written from the first-person perspective of a fetus with telepathic powers to perceive the world through his mother and all she felt.
Wow.
It's the story. And so I was involved with the recording and editing it together and the sound effects, and they actually used a piece I had written as the theme song for it. And it was a wonderful, wonderful project. And because of my participation, the producer named me as a co-producer on it for my contribution. So that was really great. And then I ended up also in another radio show as a co-producer, and it was a messianic a messianic Jew is the term, but it was a rabbi who was a Christian believer, and he had a show, and so I was also involved with that and came up with a few little things for that.
Yeah, I think I remember you giving me the name of that show, and I thought it was really cute. I loved it. What was the name of it?
Well, it was a segment of the show that I think tickled you, and I think the show was just simply, what was the name of the show? I didn't name it, so why should I remember it? No, the rabbi's name was Barry, and I think it was something about Barry. I'm sorry, I don't remember the name of the show anymore. But the part that was funny was we were doing these call-ins, and since we're still trying to get it off the ground, it wasn't live. It was all being pre-recorded, and we were actually writing the questions. And Barry would read them over the air, say, I have a question, and then he would answer it. And I named the whole thing because of the kinds of questions as Take a Stab at the Rab.
Oh, that's right. That's what I liked. Yeah.
Okay, it's now time, you know. So then each show is time for Take a Stab at the Rab.
Right.
And questions. And he always had brilliant, brilliant answers. Sweet, sweet guy.
Wonderful.
Barry Rudolph was his name. Barry Rudolph.
Huh. Yeah, so well, I'm really looking forward to having you on the show. And we're going to start doing the show together next month. And we are going to be going live. We are going to have call-ins. We are going to have live music. It's going to be a blast. So we're really excited about what's coming up. And we are actually still working on coming up with a new name for the show. And you had a couple of ideas, correct?
Yeah, it's narrowed down to one with two words. Does that count as a couple?
Well, we can always have people send us their ideas, and then we can do some kind of a, you know, see if we can come up with some ideas from them. Let them pick a name. Yeah, what
would we crowd naming or crowdfunding? Crowd naming or crowdfunding?
Crowd naming, huh? Well, yeah, that could be a new industry.
I have an idea. Huh. Let's call Stay or Go and have the callers name us.
That could be dangerous.
That's what I'm trying to say. No, so we were thinking about different names, and the one that I think will work really well, Rockin' Talk, you know, R-O-C-K-I-N apostrophe, Rockin' Talk.
Yeah, there you go. And we're going to be able to have you call in. We're going to have professionals on the air. You can call in and talk to them, ask them your questions. And it's going to be exciting. We are really looking forward to all the changes we're doing. So I wanted to have this show dedicated to letting you get to know Abraham and what we're working on, and get a feel for what's coming up.
Well, and also, this is our first time interacting together this way, and not just being on a phone call. We're actually doing this together as a show, and it's so easy. So easy to be talking together. So I think there might be something here for us to continue to pursue, and hopefully the listeners will feel the same and catch the joy.
Absolutely. I'm sure they will. So actually, I want you to pick the next song. Resist the devil, resist the devil, resist the devil.
Who's twisting my arm? Oh, let go.
Pick the next song. We're going to play another song. And then you can tell us the story behind that song, and then we'll talk about what we're planning on doing with the show starting next month.
Okay, well, here we go. I know if I play any other song but Resist the Devil, you're just going to mute it. So let's pick Resist the Devil.
Good choice. Oh, that is a wonderful choice. I'm so glad you thought of it. That's awesome. Thank you.
My thinking was effortless in this case.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, Resist the Devil. yeah. Are we awake now or are we awake now?
That was fun to listen to. I haven't actually listened to that for a while.
Tomorrow when I go out for a run, I'm listening to that song because that's what makes me feel like doing. It just fills me with energy.
It's not called Run from the Devil, but it could still get you going.
It does. It's so energetic. I love it. And again, the song keeps changing on you. It's not, I mean, no 2 minutes of it sound exactly alike. It's so much fun. It takes you on a journey.
Thank you. You know, I've heard that word journey mentioned for a few of my songs now, and it's got me thinking about just that whole idea. I mean, if more people felt like it took them somewhere, then I feel like I've actually accomplished something in providing a world or a space that has some kind of positive result.
Yeah, that song definitely does. In fact, it's funny. When I was listening to it, it made me realize as I was listening to it that it's a great attitude adjustment. It's one of those songs that if I'm having a down moment or if I'm upset about something, I can listen to it and it makes me feel better. It's great. I love that song. Sorry. You can't tell I'm enthusiastic about that song, can you?
You know what? Keep a copy for yourself. Hey.
Will do. So, as far as the show goes, I wanted to kind of talk a little bit and just tell everybody what our plans are, because we've got some really exciting plans going on for the show. We've both been in the music industry and around the industry for so long. We've got a lot of connections. We've got a lot of stories. We've both learned a lot of things, had our ups and downs with the industry, and from completely different perspectives. And so we wanted to put this show together and bring on the people that we know, and just be able to share their knowledge and our knowledge and to support people in the music industry and let them share their stories. And I'm really excited about having you on the show as well, just to give a completely different perspective on the show.
Thank you.
Let you share some things with our listeners as well.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of people that could be our guests, and there's tons of listeners that could totally benefit from hearing what they have to say.
Right. And my motivation is still the same as it's always been, is to support indie artists. And so what I would like to see happen is for our listeners to be able to have the opportunity to call and talk to these people that they could never access otherwise, and to get their input. And hey, you know, play your music for them and let them help you out with it and create some relationships that you wouldn't have otherwise. And also, I have been around a lot of musicians throughout my life, and I've seen the music industry be incredibly fulfilling to some and to destroy others. And I'm very, very passionate about being sure that if you get in the music industry, you are fair to yourself, you're true to yourself, and that you see to it that the music industry is positive for you. And so that is part of what the show's about. That's what I'm about. And just giving indie musicians what they need to be successful and to be fulfilled. Fulfilled is just as important as successful. You have to have both in order to make it work.
Right. And I think that probably relates to having a foundation under your feet that isn't about just the career, but it's something a little deeper than that, and that you're deeply rooted in knowing who you are in the scheme of things, and having truth as your guide, and versus the glitz and glamour of, you know, what looks like a successful, happy life, because
right.
A lot of people do have to put that on as part of their public image, but that doesn't necessarily mean that's how they're feeling once they're out of the camera's eye or off the stage again.
Right.
I mean, look at a lot of people who whose life was tragically shortened, and so yeah, we all need the right kind of guidance.
Right, and I do think a lot of it has to do with just knowing why you're doing it, what's really important to you, and not letting everyone else tell you what's important. Meaning, you know, when you get into the music industry, for example, and somebody tells you you need to get a manager. So you get a manager, and then the manager tells you you need to look a certain way, you need to talk a certain way, you need to be a certain way, you need to hang out with certain people. That might not be who you really are, but it's what they tell you you need to do. So you start doing it. And then you're unfulfilled because you're feeling phony or you're feeling like you can't be yourself. You have to play what they tell you to play, and you have to say the kind of things they tell you to say. And it can be really, really difficult. There's so many aspects to the music industry that can be really fulfilling if you handle it right. And if you know why you're doing what you're doing, and you know what's important to you, and you hang on to that, and you make your decisions based on that and not what on people tell you you have to do. You have to be true to yourself, and you have to know why you're doing it. You have to know what's important and not ever lose sight of that. That, in a nutshell, is my passion, is to be sure that artists are able to do what they love to do and be fulfilled while they're doing it, and to keep loving what they do, and it never gets old, and that they can provide inspiration to others through their music, which is what they really want to do 9 times out of 10, just like you said about your music.
You know, there's so many different ways that we can get pulled off, but if we can stay true and remember why we started, just like you said, it may take a little longer, but that's, you know, I have a saying that the deepest seed, when watered, you know, it will grow, but the deepest seed takes the longest to surface. But
good
once
point.
It does, the roots will be strong and deep, and the tree will let, you know, stand.
Right.
And that's kind of what we have to do with our lives.
Good point. Yeah, and you know, when you do lose your first love, when you start forgetting why you sing, when you start feeling like the music is just using you, and then you start feeling like everybody else is just using you, then you feel unloved. And there's not a worse feeling in the world than feeling all alone and unloved. Like I said, the music industry can be that, or it can be the opposite. It can be so exciting, and it can be so fulfilling, and it can be, and you can get out there and you can reach so many people and affect so many people and share so much with so many in a way that others can't. It's so exciting. But you have to hang on to your first love and why you're doing it in order to make that happen.
I agree. And I was just thinking about, I've noticed in the past few months, I stumbled on a stream of old archive, like Beatles videos and things like that from, you know, over YouTube. And their charm was that they were themselves, which is important, but the other thing was they had each other. They would say of each other, well, they were my mates, and we toured together, we slept together, we were in the van crowded when we had a flat tire and had to stay overnight stuck on the side of the road when the van slid off. We experienced all these things together. They always had each other, and that was at the core for the longest time, and it really helped them through their crazy schedule. And their fame and popularity, it never ended up going to their heads.
Right.
Because they had a different point of reference.
Right.
One that was grounded, you know. And I think that really helped along the way, for sure.
Yeah, I've talked quite a few times on my show about exactly that. Having the people around you that have the same vision that you have, and that understand your vision, so that when things get tough, you have each other, and you support each other, and you keep your eye on what's important. Again, it's not losing what's important to you, no matter what the world throws at you. They could have gotten very sidetracked, and it is really important that when you do put a band together, or when you do have a music career, that you surround yourself with people that understand who you are, and really know you for who you are, and help you keep your head on, and keep focused on what is important to you. And listen to people when they tell you you're getting a little bit off, because it's easy to do.
It's very easy to do. It's very easy to be fragmented by many influences around you.
Right, right. It is. And it's so exciting to me when I see young people, and I know I can think of a couple right off the top of my head that are incredibly talented, and they are going to be very successful as artists. They are really, really, really grounded, and it's so exciting. It's so interesting to talk to them, because they are kids still. They act like teenagers. They're out there being silly teenagers, but they are out there doing music, and they love what they do, and they're just not forgetting what's important to them. And it's fun to me. It's really exciting to me to see young people who have a good, solid family unit supporting them, and they've got the right kind of friends around them supporting them, and they've got good managers supporting them that are working with them as the people they want to be, and their music. You have to deal with a lot of things that the average 9-to-5-er doesn't have to deal with.
I don't think there's anybody who would even tell somebody that it's an easy career. It's a tough one.
Yeah, yeah. And I think one of the things that makes it tough is, again, the fact that as you start getting successful, you feel like you have fewer and fewer people you can trust and fewer and fewer people you can go to and just open up to. And so that's what we're here for.
I guess I can contribute. I have more than one paper bag if anybody needs one to hyperventilate like I do this.
You were hyperventilating at the very beginning of the show.
Exactly. And then the other time I was smart enough to mute my mic first.
All right. Well, do you have anything else you want to say before we end the show? We're getting to the end. We're running out of time.
No, it was really fun to do this, and I'm looking forward to many more adventures in Rock and Talk, if that's going to be the name. I mean, you opened it up, so who knows what our name will end up being. But no, I think I'm just very excited. I'm looking forward to doing this each week, and I hope the listeners, you know, are going to also enjoy this new combination between us, and neither of us are at a loss for words, and hopefully there's something in our words that means something to somebody else at the same time.
Right.
And we, you know, I certainly enjoyed doing this, and thank you, Cynthia, for inviting me to join you in all this. It's
absolutely
really
great. Well, thank you so much for being on the show, Abraham. I can't wait to work with you. But before we go, we're getting close to the end of the show. I wanted to give you an opportunity to let us know where we can listen to your music and find out more about what you're working on.
Okay. Well, my main page has been for quite a while on Reverb Nation. There's quite a few songs there, including the ones we heard on this show. And that's www.reverbnation.com/AbrahamMusicProject. And I also have a CD baby where I think my album will be offered first and exclusively before I let it out onto iTunes and Spotify and any of that. You go to store.cdbaby.com/artist/AbrahamMusicProject. It's kind of a handful, but you could always just search CD Baby for Abraham Music Project, and that'll get you there, too.
Wonderful. Thank you. And thank you so much, everyone, for listening. I really appreciate it. You can get more information about the show on successwithmacintosh.com, and keep an eye out for new websites, new Facebook pages, new social media marketing all over the place as we put this together. We are working on it right now, and as we set things up, we'll keep you posted. So keep your eyes up, don't lose hope, and we will see you here next week. Reach for the stars.
Bye, everybody.